So let me just give a bit of an introduction to what I want to do today. This is a mimer, it's a discourse from the Rebbe. Today in Chabad Hasidic calendar is a significant day. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Just to give you a bit of the background. So in 1977, the Rebbe on Shmini Atzeres had a very massive heart attack. And he didn't want to go to the hospital, so they turned his room into a hospital, into an intensive care unit. Because he wanted to be with the Hasidim or whatever. So that's a story in itself. But he was there confined to his room, his office in other words, for a number of weeks. And he made a real miraculous recovery, which then gave, when I say miraculous, it was truly miraculous. People never knew this until after he passed away in Gimel Tammuz 1994. And then the doctors, his personal doctor spoke about it, and he was a cardiologist, and he spoke about how severe the heart attack was and how miraculous it was that the Rebbe made such a recovery. And then 15 years kept going and teaching and building shlichus and so on and so forth. So what happened was that for the next few weeks, he still wanted to talk to his Hasidim. He just suffered a massive heart attack. So on Motzei Simchas Torah, he said a sicha from his room, a very short sicha, 25 minutes. Doctors gave him 5 minutes, but he did it for 25 minutes. And then the next few weeks after that, every Motzei Shabbos, he spoke from his room through a microphone that everyone could hear in the shul and around the world and so on. On the 9th of Kislev, which is sort of next week, it was the Motzei Shabbos, and he spoke an extremely long talk from his room. And I'm going to the main part. He went home on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, he went home, and that's why ever since that, today, Rosh Chodesh Kislev has been a day of celebration, thanksgiving to Hashem and so on. So that's what this day is about. But later, he still didn't come down to speak publicly. And he, on Motzei Shabbos of the 9th of Kislev, he said an extremely long talk from his room. In that talk, he one of the parts of the talk was divided into different parts, was a very long mimer on the parsha of the week, which is Vayetze. That was in 1977. 10 years later, he edited that mimer, and it was published. And on Rosh Chodesh Kislev 1987, he distributed it. It was the very big international kinnus of the shluchim in New York, which wasn't nearly as big then as it is now, but it was I think the first international kinnus that was happening. And the Rebbe said a special sicha, and he gave the booklet that they just published out to all the shluchim, to them, to their wives, and so on. I'm just explaining why this moment is very special to me, because I was then married. I was teaching in Morristown, whatever, but I was already designated to come here. So I'd already signed up to come to Sydney as a shliach, but because of endless visa problems, it took like almost a year, and I wasn't able. I was South African, and Australians didn't like South Africa in those days, and it took a long time to grant me a visa, which I got eventually. So I was advised that I can still go up to the Rebbe to get this, because I was not physically here yet, but I was on the way. So I did. I did, and Dina did. So I have the booklet that the Rebbe handed out, and I try to learn the mimer. But it's a very fundamental mimer in terms of how our Avodas Hashem works, and so on and so forth. So I want to learn a little bit from it. It's 28 chapters, which we're not going to get anywhere here covering today, but we'll try and do a little bit. We'll do the parts hopefully in color. But in order to understand, I think it's just best if we look at the Chumash, page 144. Right. And this is a time where Yaakov has to run away from Esau, Parshas Vayetze, and he leaves Yitzchak's home. He leaves the city of Yitzchak, which is Be'er Sheva. Right? So it says in the Pasuk, have a look on page 144 at the top. Yeah, does everyone have it? Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, and Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva, and he went to Haran. Okay. Then the whole story that he came to the place of the Beis HaMikdash and he took stones and the stones became one stone and he laid on the stone and so on. And he had the dream where Hashem promised him to be with him and so on and so forth. So then, what happens is, and this is really the basis of this mimer, says Yaakov woke up, he was afraid, he said this must be the house of Hashem, the gateway to heaven. He took the stone and he made a matseva, he made a monument, and he poured oil, right? And then it says the following, have a look at page 146, right? Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, middle of the page. Last two words in the line, Vayidar Yaakov, right? And it says like this, Vayidar Yaakov neder lemar. And Yaakov made a vow, he made an oath. Im yiyeh Elokim imadi, if Hashem will be with me, Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi holech, and is going to protect me on this journey that I'm on. And what does it mean, protect me? V'nasan li lechem lechol, he will give me bread to eat, ubeged lilboish, and a garment to wear, and v'shafti v'shalom ul beis avi, and he'll return me in peace to the house of my father. V'hoyu Hashem li l'elokim, and Hashem will be elokim to me. Hashem meaning the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, which in Chassidus is always referred to as Havaya. So Havaya will be elokim. Then he says one more thing, this stone that I've placed as a monument here, Beis Elokim, will be the house of God. And then he says, whatever he gives me, I will tithe, I will give back to him, and so on and so forth. Okay. So essentially, he talks about five things happening here. He says, Hashem will be with me. Hashem will give me lechem le'echol. He'll give me a bread to eat, garments to wear, return me to my father's house in peace. Hashem, Havaya, will be Elokim for me. Right, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei will be Elokim. And the stone, which I place as a monument, will become the house of Elokim. Right, and that's essentially what this mimer is based on. Let's have a look. Maybe we'll skip out parts, it depends on the time, but we'll let's have a look. Okay. The mimer starts with Shafti B'Shalom Ul-Beis Avi. All right, this is where it starts off. So look at the next part. We'll just do just what's highlighted in the mimer. Yeah? So we're going to do it in the mimer now. Not the chumash. Okay. The yiduim adiyukim was there. So it's known the questions in this. Number one, ma'u oimri v'shafti v'shalom v'beishav. What does he mean to come back to his house of the father in peace? What does that mean? Like in peace. V'shalom daf. What's the emphasis on the word peace? Second of all, v'frat shalifnei zeh, especially, what did he like? What was the addition? What was the extra? Especially, that before this, Omer, it says, Im yiyeh Elokim imadi, said, if Hashem will be with me, nasan li lechem lechol, give me bread to eat, or beged ilbosh, give me clothes to wear. Shakavonu b'zeh, that the intention, obviously, is not just bread and clothes. Yaakov, obviously, was a great tzaddik, so he was speaking on many levels. So the intention was, lechem u'beged beruchnis, he's also asking for bread and for garments, spiritually speaking. Cholapirushim, whatever that means. And nevertheless, Eino Mistapik was there. He's not, he doesn't stop there. Umadgish, and he says, besides the lechem, besides the bread and the garments, Umadgish, he emphasizes, Shechazerose, El Beis Aviv, that return to the house of his father, Tiye B'Sholom Davka, has to be specifically B'Sholom in peace. What does that mean? Next question, V'gam Tzorech Loiva, we also have to understand, Mashallah Achri, B'Shafti, B'Sholom, El Beis Aviv, that after he says that Hashem will return me in peace to my father's house, Tia Moisiv, he adds, V'hoyah Havai li l'lokim, that Hashem, Havai will be l'lokim. What's the addition? And it appears to be going in order of, like, elevation. So, bread to eat and clothes to wear is one level, coming back B'Sholem to his father's house is another level, and then higher than that is Hashem will be l'lokim. What does that mean? Hare inyan da havaya elokim, this concept of havaya being elokim, hu inyan amiti utmidi, that's a true thing and that's a constant thing. Kamavur bekamakum, as explained in many places. Umahu hachidush v'hanal b'havaya v'hoy elokim. What's the chidush here? So let me just explain what that means. This concept of havaya being elokim is a general concept. There's a big discourse from the Rebbe Rashab known as the Yodaita of Moscow. It's a maimer that was said in Moscow in Tofresh Nun Zayim. Not sure what English year that is. And we explain this whole idea because, you know, we have this, we say it every day in Aleinu, the Yodaita. In Aleinu we say, the Yodaita, you should know today, you should think about it, Ki Hashem hu Elokim, that Hashem is Elokim. What does that mean? So he explains it, it's a general principle, a general idea that every Yid should be aware of, that Hashem is Elokim. What does that mean? So we know that in the names of Hashem, every name represents a different manifestation of Hashem. Yudke Vavke, which we refer to as Havaya, that's the name of revelation, it's the name of infinity, it's the infinite flow from Hashem and the revealed, the revelation of Hashem, right? Yudke Vavke also comes from the word Lahavot, to create. It's also the creative name. Hashem creates the world with the name Havaya, name Yudke Vavke, right? Yet we know that in the creation of the world, really the name of Yudke Vavke is not used. What's used always in the creation is Elokim, right? What's Elokim? Elokim is the name of Tzimtzum, it's the name of concealment, right? That Hashem's presence is hidden because Hashem created a finite world, a limited world, a physical world. That's all Elokim stuff, right? And we look at the world and we see Elokim. We see a world where Hashem is not revealed in it, right? So the point of that maimer is that a person has to know that that's just a shield, meaning really Havaya and Elokim are all one thing. What's the moshel for that? Right, at a very basic level, the moshel is like this. If you have a very big academic, a very big brilliant man, and he wants to explain something to a four-year-old, right? Obviously, or to a younger person that doesn't have his level of expertise, right? Doesn't have his skill level. So the person explaining has to go through a level of tzimtzum. He's got to explain to him something simple, that he can, so he hides the intensity of the intellect, and he gives him something that's understandable. It's similar to the idea that he wants to give over, but it's much more diluted, and he hides the intensity and the complexity of the intellectual idea, so that the recipient only gets like the moshel, the parable, or the simplified explanation, right? So what does the Talmid, what does the students understand? What does he see? He sees a diluted idea, where the greatness and the infinity of the brilliant man's intellect is not apparent. But you have to look the other way around. When this great academic explains that concept, what does he see in that concept? To him, it's just another way of saying the same thing that he understands. So he sees the whole thing. He sees the whole depth of the intellect in that diluted thing, right? Is that clear? In other words, the tzimtzum is only to our eyes. The Elokim doesn't conceal anything for Hashem. He sees in the Tzimtzum the same revelation as Havaya. Havaya is Elokim. It's just us, we see a diluted thing. In other words, Hashem's presence, Hashem's infinity is in the world as much as it was without Elokim. It's just we wouldn't be able to take that intensity, therefore to us that has to be shielded. But really it's there in the whole, it's just like this brilliant man who says a simplified thing, to him in the simplified idea, it's the whole idea is there. It's only for the recipient that it's not there. Right? So this is an idea, and this is a concept, and this is a thing that everyone has to believe in. And yet Yaakov Avinu, when he's finished saying, you're going to give me bread to eat and clothes to wear and I'm going to come back in peace, and he says, and then what's going to happen is, Havaya is going to be a Elokim. Everyone, I mean, that's not, you know, only Yaakov Avinu's high level for that. That's true with everyone. It's a constant idea. It doesn't only happen when you finish these other levels. So he wants to know what is, so obviously he meant something else. He didn't mean what we normally mean when we say Havaya is a Elokim. It's got to be a different explanation. Okay. Then he continues, he says, Gam Tzorach Lov, you also understand Mashakosu L'Achrizeh. What it says in the fifth thing, he says, the Evan Hazois Asher Samti Matzeva, the stone that I put as a monument, Yiyah Beis Elokim will be a house of God. Eich Shayach She Evan Shu Doyu, how could it be that a stone, which is an inanimate object, Tia be madrege nalis kol kach should be such a high madrege she tia beisa lakim should be the house of God. What does it mean? Yeah. Yeah. He gives us an insight into one of the questions here, and he says like this. V'hinei mevur be'adrushim, it's explained in other mamorim, the pirush v'hoya havai li lelakim. What did Yaakov mean when he said havai will be lelakim? It didn't mean what we normally mean. He meant like this. That, well, you see, Yaakov was a very big tzaddik, right? See, in fact, he, unlike us, we just see a lelakim. He actually had an insight into havai. He had an insight into the greater revelation of Hashem, right? But he says like this. When he said that I'll come to a level where Havaya will be Elokim, he meant something totally different. He meant, Shiyumshach oyer nale yoyser, that a much higher light will be revealed in the world when I'm finished. When I come back, a much higher light will be shining in the world. Shelagabe oyer zeh, Havaya da achshav yiyah beis Elokim. And this is like when Mashiach comes, or right? It means like this. There will come a time where Hashem will reveal such a light in this world that it will make the present Havaya look like Elohim. The present revelation of Havaya, which is a Madrega of infinite revelation of Hashem, will become like the Elohim. It will be a new Havaya kind of thing, right? That's what it means. Shelagabe or is there that in comparison to that light, Havaya da Achshav, the Havaya of now, Yirak B'chinas Elohim. Therefore, what does it mean that he says, "Sha'evan yeh beis alakim"? What does it mean that this stone will become a house for God? Sheyaz, it means lahavaya shi'alakim. It'll be a house for havaya, which will become the alakim there. Which even higher, it means the stone now all of a sudden takes on a whole new level. Not just that the stone will become a house for alakim, it'll become a house for the future alakim, which is really a house for havaya. Now, pisa tzarech bi yosu, need to understand what does it mean. Eich shat sha'evan. How is it possible that the stone, should be a house for this level of Elohim that we're talking about, such a high level? Okay. That's all the question. Now let's go to number two, base. He says to Tony, he says, because the Torah is eternal, move on, we have to understand, that this promise that Yaakov made is not just something that was personal to Yaakov. It's a lesson for every yid, in all places and all times. It's our story, basically. Right? Which you're going to have to understand. Now, that is true with anything in the Torah. Anything we read in the Torah, we know that the Rebbe used to mention many, many times that the word Torah comes from the word hayra, instruction. Torah is not a history book, it's not a story book, it's not even a book of commandments. It's a book of instruction. Which means everything in the Torah, including stories, is an instruction, right? That's the general principle. He says, but the Seirimus would even more so, given Shemaisa Ovoi Simon Labonim, because whatever happens to our patriarchs and matriarchs is really a simon for the children, as we know. It's a famous idea. The Ramban talks about it a lot. So therefore, if you turn over the page, you have to go to the Kuf Nun Ches, right? Turn over so that, yes. Just say on the top, Kuf Nun Ches. It's be yeser se'ei, so be yeser oz. So it's even more. In other words, so everything in the Torah is a lesson, especially things that happen to Ovois and Imois, right? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then he says later, which I'm not going to do inside, he says later, not only, but he says that there's a famous idea. When we say that whatever happened to the patriarchs and matriarchs, the Avos and the Emois, is a siman labonim, it's a sign, it's a symbol of what is going to happen to their children, it means much more than that. It means it's a giving us koyach. In other words, that what they went through gave us koyach to experience the same thing. So it's more than just a siman, it's an asinas koyach, it's an infusion of strength to experience that exact story. That's how it works, right? I mean, we know this with lots of, you know, I think the Ramban talks about when Avraham Avinu went to Lech Lecha and he went down to Mitzrayim, that was like the Yidden going down to Mitzrayim. Sarah got abducted, that was like the slavery. It says Hashem gave the plagues to Paro's palace, so that was the plagues. All these things, right? All mirrors of the whole thing. And Yitzchak, Yaakov, the same thing. Particularly Yaakov, actually. Very much the story of what happens to us. Okay. So, we're going to have not only to answer the questions, we're going to understand what does it actually mean to us. What's happening? What's this journey? So, just have a look at the next chapter of Yuvanze. You see that? We'll understand this. Behekdem Ashakosim Rusha Mesein Yuseinu, by understanding first, I'm going to do this next point in Sabbath. I'll just explain it outside. First of all, we have to understand what does it mean that the Pesukim that we did before starts off by saying, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva. The question is, what does Be'er Sheva mean on a deeper level? So for this chapter, it goes to the whole Kabbalistic thing where there's two levels of Be'er Sheva, and it talks about the world of Atzilus, is it Vina, is it Malchus? The bottom line, the simple pshat is that Be'er Sheva is referring to the level of Yitzchak, which was the level of the spheres of the Malchus of Tzilis, and by Yetze Yaakov going out of Be'er Sheva is basically the Neshama leaving Atzilus and coming into the worlds of Bri Yitzir Asir, which is the worlds of creation. So it's the journey of the Neshama, essentially, right? Okay. Now go where it says Dalet, and he says the following. He says, Zeu Gam Sheshem HaSedre. This also means this is the name of the Sedra, who Vayetze. It's the name of the Sedra which these Pesukim are from. It's a Sedra called Vayetze, meaning Kikol Inyan Habirurim. Because the whole. No, let me just stop here a second. He's going to talk about a word called Birurim. Birurim means it's the process, it's the journey. We also have this idea of Birurim. Whenever we engage in something physical, it's to elevate it. We've talked about this before, right? Nothing really in our life is stum. It's all part of the journey of serving Hashem. What's supposed to be anyways, right? So when we eat, when we sleep, when we do business, when we do anything physical, it's all for the purpose of creating what we call a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. And it's all for the purpose, and how do you do that? By elevating everything in this world, because Kabbalah and Chassidus brings this idea that there was 288 sparks which divide into millions and billions of sparks of godliness, which is captured in every gashmistika thing, and you go into the world, everyone lands up in the world in order to elevate the sparks that are there, right? That's why also we learn that a person has to know, may Hashem mitzadei gever koinon. A person never just lands up somewhere. Wherever a person lands up, there's a purpose, right? Let's say a person gets lost and he lands up in some city, right? No such thing. No such thing as lost. No such thing as being stuck somewhere. No such thing. It's a purpose. It means you have to be there, right? It means you have a mission there. Your neshama has to elevate some spark that's in that place, right? It's an amazing idea because it means like you have to run away. The thinking should be completely different. Thinking is, okay, I'm here. Now what am I supposed to do here? Learn something. Daven, say bracha, makarav and aliyid, right? I think I told you the story before. There was Beautiful story. It's this. Many, many years ago, in the early years of the Rebbe's leadership, there was a women's convention, Chabad women's convention. They used to do once a year in New York, and once a year they used to do it somewhere else. So there was once that they did it in Detroit, I think it was. And they did it during the year week, and then there was the whole thing, and then a bunch of women were traveling back to be home in time for Shabbos on a Friday. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was a Friday morning, something like that. They eventually made it back, but they got stuck and it was delayed and they were really panicking because it was getting close to Shabbos. So one of the women decided they're going to call the Rebbe's office and ask for a bracha. So Rabbi Klein, I think it was, answered the phone. And it was, those days it was no mobiles, it was pay phones. If you had to make a call from the office, you'd put in quarters, you know. So he answered and he said, we're a bunch of women here, it's really a problem. We're stuck in the airport, we're stuck here in Detroit. And could you please ask the Rebbe for a bracha? So he says, hold on, I'm going to try to see if I can ask the Rebbe now. So he went into the Rebbe, and he comes back, and he said in Yiddish, he said, the Rebbe will wissen, the Rebbe wants to know, was mein stuck? What does stuck mean? So the woman was getting a little bit edgy. He says, what do you mean? It was like stuck here. So he laughed, and he says, no, the Rebbe knows what the word stuck means. But the Rebbe told me to tell you, as Ayidis came on, you're stuck. Ayid is not stuck. There's no such thing as stuck. The Abish is going with you. If you're in a place, you're in a place for a reason. Story goes, they realized the health thinking is different, so they decided, forget about it, we'll just, won't worry about it, it'll turn out okay, which it did. Meantime, they started looking for women on the airport to see if they can influence people to light Shabbos candles. It was then those are the years that ever came up with a campaign lighting Shabbos candles, and that's what they did. I mean, the story was told many, many years later, there were still women apparently that we're in contact with that lighted Shabbos candles still years later because of that story. Because he's not stuck, wherever you are, there's a mission, right? So we say that Yaakov went to Lavan. Yaakov didn't go to Lavan because he ran away from Esau. Of course he did. That was the cause, right? Why he landed up there. But really the reason was he went there because there was it says in Chassidus, Yaakov had two missions of Birurim. This idea of Birurim, to elevate. One was to be Mavarit, to elevate and refine the Lavan world. And the other one was to refine the Esau world. Okay, they're different, whatever they mean. A different mission, different purposes. So 20 years he spent in Lavan, that was to do the Lavan world. Then he encountered Esau, that was to Mavar, the Esau world. Right? Which he began and we're still finishing. But okay. So it says like this. So that's why the parsha is called Vayetze. Why? Kikol inyan abirurim. Because all the birurim, all these refinements, Shabir Yaakov Eitzel Lavan, which Yaakov was refining by Lavan, Hamavur Besedra, as is explained in this parasha, Huschal mitzi osim yibeisheva, inyan Vayetze. It all started from when he left Be'esheva. I'll just see. He brings it later, but I just want to show you the highlight how this is clear. Be'er Sheva is a place of holiness. As Chassidus explains what Be'er Sheva is, it's a well of holiness, it's different madregas, Hatzilus, whatever, etc. What is Charon, the word Charon? Charon comes from the word Charoin, like anger. Klippa, in other words. Right? Yaakov had a journey where he left Be'er Sheva, by Yetzei mi Be'er Sheva. Where did he go to? He descended. By Yelich, he went. Doesn't mean geographically he... Can I see just answer the door to see?
The door?
Yeah, someone's closing the door. Sorry. Sorry, that's just sorry, I was down in the office today. As mezuzahs? It's a book. Just leave it there. Leave it there. All right. Okay. So Elwes, he was leaving. He was leaving Be'er Sheva, Vayelech, and he went. They were here. I don't know what happened there. They were here on the shelf. You know, just knock on the door there and ask Levi. Knock on. This. Just knock on that door and ask Levi. You go in, just go in. Go in. By Yelech Charona, what does it mean he went to Charon? It doesn't mean he went to Charon, it means he descended into Charon. Right? With the mission of being Mavar, of refining the world. I don't there, I can't see them. Oh, they are there, sorry, I can see, okay. Of refining, sorry. To refine the place of love. Okay. Zereshit Yosso Hoysen Boyfakaze Shayevarani Tutsis the Choron. The whole idea of him leaving, he went in such a way that he would be given the power to refine the sparks in Choron. And he should survive it. But here Mitos Ishlema, his whole family should be complete, even more than Avram, like Avram Yoshua and Ishmael, not like Avram Avinu that had Ishmael, like Yisro, Shios Ben Esau, right? So what does it mean? See, he explains a beautiful thing. When you know, it's actually in the name Yaakov. Right? It's in the name Yaakov. In you know, the next it's written, why was Yaakov called Yaakov? Because it says when he was born, in this coming week's parasha, the Yodai Oichezes Ba'akev Esav. He came out and his hand was holding onto the heel of Esav, right? You have to understand spiritually what that means. Esav is the lowest clipper. It's worse than Lavan. The heel of Esau is the lowest of the low. That's what Yaakov was holding on to. Vayikra Shmoy, what do they call him? Yaakov. Yeah. He was holding on to the heel of Esau, but he wasn't called Akev, he was called Yaakov. Why? Shebeshem Yaakov, because the name Yaakov is based halakim. There's two parts. Yud is the Yud, which stands for Yodoy Oisius Yud. His hand was holding onto Yaakov. His hand. That's the Yud. The Akev. So Yud and Akev. Correct? Kavur b'Torah Resh Parash say, like explains in Torah Oyer, she Yaakov is b'chinah as Yud Akev. That's Yaakov. Yaakov is Yud and Akev. Which means, what's the Yud? Yud refers to very high madrega. It's the Yud, normally in Hasidus, Yud, the letter Yud is refers to Chochmah. So we're talking about the Chochmah of Hasidus, the highest level of Seder Ishtalshlus, right? Hamshachas b'chinas Chochmah Yilah, so it's bringing down this big madrega, b'chinas Akbayim, in the level of heel. And whose heel? Not Yaakov's heel. Esau's heel. So it's the highest level of Gedusha coming down to the lowest level of Klippa. Right? And that's why it's called Yaakov. And he says, well, I'll just explain this last part outside. He says that because he was born that way, he was the Yud holding onto the Akev. That's why later on when he grew up, he now had the Koyach to go, to leave Be'er Sheva, to go to Lavan, to do what he needed to do in Lavan. Because he was coming with the power of the Yud. Follow? He wasn't just going into right? So it's if you go into Choron, you have to come with the Yud. You can't just land in Choron. You've got to come with a very high madrega and to be able to survive that mission. Yeah? All right, go on to the next page. I want to do this next part. I'll just explain to you this outside. He says a very beautiful idea. He says, look at this. He says a very beautiful idea. He says, you know, we always say, this is quite a unique concept to be aware of. And that explains this Yud Akev thing. He says, when the Neshama comes down, when Yaakov went down, it's like this. He came from Be'er Sheva, which means he was given a special bracha from Be'er Sheva. So we have this idea, we normally talk about the Neshama, when it comes down, we say it comes down, Me'igra, Rama, Labira, Amikta, comes from a very high level to a very low level, right? And in general, we have this concept of chassidus that every time a person experiences a descent, right, goes down, we call it yirida tzoyre chalia, right? You understand it? That the descent is for the purpose of the ascent. In other words, whenever we go down, whatever it is, the golos and the shavna, if we have a challenging time in life, whatever the case is, always when we go down, it's for the purpose of coming back, not just the level we were before, but to a higher level, right? That's yirida tzoyre chalia. And that's normally we mean that the neshama has an aliyah, which means it's aliyah after going down. He says it's not so true that. I mean, it is true, but it's something more than that. When the neshama is sent on a mission to go down, it has an aliyah before it goes down. Why? In order to survive the mission. In other words, if you have the neshama, right? It's an amazing thing, by the way, just in general, like when we experience something in life. The neshama is the neshama. The neshama doesn't want to come down to this world. The neshama is close with Hashem. And then the neshama is forced to come down to this world, right? So we learn, like in the beginning of Tanya we learned, right? Before the neshama comes down to this world, he's given a shvuah, he has taken oath. So it's a famous idea. What's the idea of an oath, a shvuah? What is he? The neshama wants to succeed. Why should he have an oath? I mean, but we say that shvuah doesn't mean taking a promise. Shvuah comes from the word soveya, to be saturated. Which means before the neshama has come down, it's given an extra dose, an extra infusion of godliness to be stronger than it already is in order to be able to survive this mission. Right? This is true with everything. You know, sometimes we experience something and we think, I don't know how I can handle this. Right? No, it's not true. If Hashem sent us into a situation, before He sends us in, He gives us the koyach to be able to do it. Yeah, then there's the aliyah that happens after we do it. That's true, but there's already an aliyah. And that's what it means, he said. That's what it means. That's the depth of what it means. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er Sheva. Yaakov came back from Be'er Sheva, which means he went out from Be'er Sheva, like the same idea of Shvuah. He was given special koyach to go to Haran to survive in his mission. Now he explains a beautiful idea. That when he comes now, and this whole thing, where he has this neder and the stone and the whole thing, symbolizes the mission. Why? So you know, let me do it outside for now, and we'll do the second part inside. So it says like this: Vayikach ma'avnei hamoka. Right? He takes the stones of the place. What's a stone? First of all, it says, Me'avnei ha-mokoim, the stones of the place. That's when he comes to the Temple Mount, before he lands up in Choram. He came to the Temple Mount, right? But already there, he's laying out the mission. He takes the stones of the place. Place is a symbol for this kashmistika world, for the physical world, right? In this world itself, what's the lowest madrega? We know the world is divided into four parts. Doimeim, tzomeya, chai, medaber. The inanimate, the vegetation, the animal kingdom, and the human being. So the animal, the inanimate objects are the lowest in this world. That's the lowest part, right? Then he says, he took me'avne. You know, Yaakov took, it was a stone. Originally, it was only one. It ended up being one stone. But what was it originally? It was 12 stones, right? Avnei hamokon, the stones of the place. What's the, why is that significant? Because it means, it symbolizes the concept of fragmentation. It says that this world is a world of fragmentation. It's called Ture de Pruda, the separate mountains in Kabbalah. Why? Because since Hashem is hidden, it's klippah, so that everything in this world seems like something separate. And therefore everything is fragmented. Multiplicity, fragmentation is a symbol of klippah. Symbol of, right? When Hashem is revealed and there's no separate, everything's one. Because everything's part of Hashem's reality, so it's all one. Right? That's why we say, in Shema we say Hashem Echad, right? What's the idea? Because we take Ches, the eight, which is the seven heavens and the earth. We take Dalet, which is the four directions of the earth, in other words, multiplicity, difference, and we bring the Aleph into it. And we make oneness, we make Echad. Once you make everything part of Hashem's service and Hashem's reality, it becomes one. That's exactly what happened to Yaakov here. He took Me'avnei Hamokim, he took the stones, plural stones of the place, the lowest form of this world, right? The lowest form of this world, the lowest Madrega, a Madrega of complete fragmentation, and he made oneness out of it. And then it says he put it under his thing and he lifted up his head. What does that mean? Amazing thing. That's the Aliyah that comes after us. This stone that he took lifted him up. Not just lifted up his legs, the lower part of him, lifted up the highest part of him. Which is the story of our life. In other words, the fact that we come into the world, we come into the lowest thing, we want to make a Dura B'Tachtonim, a place, we take stones, which is the lowest form of existence and fragmentation, multiplicity, and we bring it all together, we make oneness, that stone, that mission lifts us up at the end. Right? And then... Yeah, but it's how Hashem relates to the world. It's the name of Hashem, how Hashem engages with the world. To how you comfort a person?
No.
Yeah, when we comfort a person. Yeah, we don't, I mean, very, we use it in our God also, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Yeah, but mostly we use it, it's interesting, we don't normally use it. We use it when we comfort a mourner, you know that. Why? There's a whole explanation because mourning is real and it's grief, but when Hashem comforts, mourning doesn't exist in the higher worlds. Because in the higher worlds, everything that happens is for the good. So therefore, we need it's Hashem's manifestation of how he engages with the world that it comforts the person. In other words, comforting a person where grief exists. So that's why we use the word Hamakom. And it's all not the yeah, okay. Right. So this is the thing. Why? And then when you do that, what happens is like this. We know that when we make a Dira B'Tachtonim, right? We make a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. Ultimately, when Mashiach comes, what are we going to reveal? We're going to reveal the essence of Hashem in this world. Because the truth is that Hashem wanted a dwelling place in this world, not only where his manifestations would be revealed, but where he would be revealed. Him in his essence, the highest form of Hashem's existence, would be revealed dafki in this world, in the physical world. Right? And that's why when we finished the job, that stone, which was the lowest form of existence, which was part of the fragmentation, that we turned into Evan, Yaakov was going to turn it into one stone. That stone will become Beis Elokim. It'll become the house for the highest Madrega. Not just Elokim the way we know Elokim, but the Elokim of the future. The highest level of revelation of God. Okay. Now, go to the next page. I'll show you an amazing thing. It's the back page, right? Page Kuf Samach Beis. It's like the back of the... Yeah. But go to where it says Ches. So now he's going to explain, this is Yaakov's story, but this is our story. So the same thing happened. Our neshama comes down to this world. Our neshama comes out of Be'er Sheva. It's given an infusion of Koach to survive. It comes down to lost forms of existence. We go to a world which is fragmented and stone and lowest level. What's the idea? The idea is to make a Diruv HaTachtonim. How do we make a Diruv HaTachtonim? There's three things. Bread to eat, garments to wear, and shalom, the idea of peace. Let's understand what it is. That's the beauty of this idea. See, like it's. V'hine avoydas ha'neshama yirasa l'mata. The avoid of ha'neshama when it comes down to this world. It starts off in two, we have two basic things we have to do. Limudat Torah, learning Torah, v'kima mitzvahs, and keeping mitzvahs, right? We'll see a third thing in a minute, but, okay. Why? Because we know that through the learning of the Torah, v'kima mitzvahs l'mata. When a neshama is able to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs dafke in this world, with all the disturbances and the distractions and the resistance that happens in this world, right? That's when mis'alis ha'neshama l'maylo yoyse mikamoy shoyse kaidim redosa. That's when the neshama is elevated to a much greater level than it was before it came down, right? Neshama's been learning Torah up there too. Torah is amazing. He's learning to come at a higher level. So what does the neshama gain by learning Torah in this world? Again, because we learn Torah dafke in this world, where it's so difficult to learn Torah, then the neshama has much greater aliyah. Right? Okay, or do we know that Torah ve'a mitzvah shelamata dafke nasi levusha neshama began Eden. Right? That the neshama and the Torah mitzvahs that we do in this world becomes like the garment of the neshama began Eden. When the neshama leaves this world with the tools, with the weapons, so to speak, of Torah mitzvahs that it has, it's able to go to Gan Eden and reach highest madrigas of revelation of Elokus that it wasn't able to reach before, because it comes with the Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs is like the protective gear that the neshama brings up to Gan Eden, that it's able to be exposed to such higher and great levels of godliness. So that's Torah mitzvahs. So Torah and mitzvahs, two things, but that's in section one. But there's a second thing we have to do, not just Torah and mitzvahs. And this is a very fundamental thing in Chassidus, right? We're not just here just to Torah and mitzvahs. You see, when you say he just does Torah and mitzvahs, that's obviously the basis of who we are, to serve Hashem, right? But it means that he can do Torah and mitzvahs. He does the mitzvahs, he has to do the mitzvahs, he davens, he has to daven, learns Torah, he has to learn Torah. And then the rest of it, he's living his own life. That's not the way it is, right? Because the truth is, most of the day, we're not engaged in Torah mitzvahs, right? We eat, that's not Torah mitzvahs. Sleep, business, cleaning, I don't know, anything. Shopping, errands, right? We're not doing Torah mitzvahs most of the day. We eat matzah, we're doing a mitzvah. Like Shabbos now, we're doing a mitzvah. But we're not, so what is it? So the second part is the second mission. Habirur de guf v'nefesh abamis v'chelke b'olam. We have to refine the body, to refine our animal soul, and to define the part of the world that we are given. Right, we come here and we're faced with anashama, that's Torah mitzvahs, and strengthen that, and it goes back up, and it's able to reach unbelievable madrigas because of that Torah mitzvahs. But we also have another mission. The mission for the neshama down here is to affect the body, and to affect the animal soul, and to affect the world. So we say that everyone is given chaylek of oilam. That's what I was talking about before. Everyone's given a part of the world they have to deal with, which we don't always know what that is. Sometimes we start in one place and end up in a different place. Okay, right? So we're given chelka to, how do we do that? Shezeh nase al yedei kiyum mitzvahs. That's done through mitzvahs. First of all, that's done through mitzvahs more than through Torah. We learned this last week or 2 weeks ago. Last year, right? Because that's the idea. Because mitzvahs have more to do with the world than Torah does. In Torah, mitzvahs itself, mitzvahs is more world related, because we pick up physical things and eat, yeah, all that kind of stuff. But he says, but even more so, it's al yedeyo avoyde de kol ma'asecho l'shem shemayim. It's through serving Hashem in a way that everything you do is for the sake of heaven, or bifrat al yidei b'chol rechad eyu, and especially through even a higher madrega, that everything you do is a tool for you to know Hashem. It's part of avodas Hashem. The loy rak shashiyase divrei reshus, not only when you do your mundane things, it's l'shem shayim, it's the sake of heaven, el shagam bohem gufa b'chol rechad yidei. But even they become like a mitzvah. I'll give you an example. So a person does business, for example. There's three madrigas. First of all, the mitzvah has got nothing to do with his godly life. That's not good. Or you do better. A person has business, it's for the sake of heaven. So he's doing business because he wants to make money, so he can give tzedakah. So he can buy kosher, he can buy an eshrog and a lulav, and he can help other people. Right? So that's the shame shemai. Or even more than that, in the business itself, he sees Hashem. He realizes how tzashgach prati is, and everything he does, is Hashem guides him, and he uses the thing itself, or he interacts with people and he brings them closer to Hashem. In the business itself, is a part of serving Hashem. So that's very different to Torah mitzvahs, right? Torah mitzvahs is specific times. This is going into the world of neutrality, not Torah mitzvahs, not bad either, just mundane. So there's the world which is bad, you have to stay away from. Then there's the world which is called Divrei Rashus, we learned it in Tanya, Klipas Noiga, right? Which is not Torah mitzvahs, it's not the ultimate clipper, it's most of what we do, basically. And that has to be full of service of Hashem. Service of Hashem is every minute of the day. What does that do? That's not just strengthening the neshama, that is bringing Hashem into the world. Taking the fragmentation away and creating oneness in the world. That Hashem becomes, that the world become one. Right? So he says like this. The next line. It says, now we can understand. That's why Yaakov said the following. He said, you'll give me bread to eat, ubeged lilboish, clothes to wear, v'shafti b'sholom obeis ovi, and you'll return me in peace to the house of my father. Lechem lechol, bed to eat, ubeged lilboish, clothes to wear, u'limud ha'toyer v'kim ha'mitzvahs. That's Torah and mitzvahs. We know, ki yodua, she Torah hu lechem bazen hashama. What's Torah? Torah is the food of the soul. We learned that in Tanya. Because Torah is something that you're able to ingest, you explain, you grasp, you fully understand, you internalize. So Torah is like food. So Yaakov said, I'm on this mission to elevate the stone, to elevate the world, to do the birurim, dirub etachtoinim, but not suddenly lechem lechel, Hashem has given me koyach to learn Torah. Obege lilboy, she's giving me clothes to wear. That's levushim. That mitzvah same levushim the neshama. That's the garments of the neshama. We know that mitzvahs are called makiv. They encompass the person. That's why mitzvahs are all outside, but they the garments of the person. And then you want to know, so what's the third thing then? The shafti b'sholem, I'll return in peace. What does peace mean? Va'avoidas habirurim. It's refining the world. What does it mean? Why is that called peace? Because when you go into the world, when the neshama comes down into the world and sees resistance, before he's able to refine the world, there's a war, conflict. Conflict between the world and Hashem. There's Hashem, and then there's the world that's resisting Hashem, fighting Hashem. When you win the world over, when you mavare the world, when you, your whole day, every part of your day, divrei reshus, mundane things, neutral things, is all the shem shemayim for the sake of heaven, or even deeper than that, it's mamash part of your avodas Hashem, you're making peace between Hashem and the world. That's why we love, there's a chazal that says that Torah was only given to make peace in the world. What does that mean? It means to do away with the fragmentation. When you have fragmentation, it's conflict. Things are opposing each other. When you bring it all together, it's oneness, it's shalom, idea of peace. So those are the three things that Yaakov was talking about. Now we understand. He said, because he asked in the beginning of the Maimer, what does it mean? After he's asking for food and clothing. So what's the extra thing bringing back in peace? What's this peace idea, right? That's what it is. It's all the mission of the neshama coming down. Lechem lechel is Torah, beged lilboish is mitzvahs, v'shafti b'sholem is even the mundane things to bring it in, right? And when you do that, then you make a dwelling place for Hashem. Then you reveal a much greater revelation of Hashem. Havai becomes Elohim on the deeper level. And then even the stone can be the base of Elohim. And that's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. The whole world will be revealed that it's dwelling place for Hashem. That's the journey.